From pitch to the center circle studio, Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
So it was a mixed bag on the road for the Memphis Americans. The women swept, the men got swept. And now we've seen a little bit of a shift in the standings. Is it time to anoint a new champion to be? Oh, no, no, no. I think we're very, very far removed from being able to do that, Brody.
I think especially if you start asking Corey Adamson, head coach, general manager, see all of the above, if it's time to, you know, I don't pack it in, you know, I think I'll have something to say on that.
Yeah, I think so. In fact, why don't we go ahead and do that? We have the general manager and the head coach for the men's and women's Memphis Americans, Corey Adamson. He's coming up next on My Three Subs.
We'll be back with today's kickoff from the Center Circle Studios. This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
I love talking soccer, but I also love talking about real estate, too. And people ask me about both a lot. And one of the big questions I get in real estate is, how's the housing market? The housing market looks great, and really, it all comes down to when is the time right for you. If you're ready to make your move, give me a call. Tim Van Horn at Cry Like Realtors, 901-756-8900 is my office number. Brody, can I give him my cell number? Oh, I can? Okay. 901-262-5000, that's my cell phone. You can also go to my website, timvanhorn.com. I can help you with your move around the block, around the city, around the state, and even around the world, too. I have a network of relocation certified agents just ready to help you. They are dying for your business, and I can put you in touch with those. All it takes is pick up the phone, give me a call. 901-756-8900. That's my office number. You can call me at my cell, 901-262-5000. Or just go online. Check me out at timvanhorn.com. That's timvanhorn.com with Cry Like Realtors.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it at all in this. The mighty have stumbled. I'm not going to say fallen. Oh, no. I'm not going to say fallen at all because they're...
Wait a second now. Now, see, you're assuming we're going to lead off talking about the men. The men hit a roadblock.
They hit a stumble.
But the women, on the other hand...
Oh, Titans.
Women.
They're Titans.
Swept.
Yeah.
On the road. And playing on the road is not an easy thing. We're going to talk about that, but we're going to look ahead as well. The head coach of the Memphis Americans, Corey Adamson, with us. Corey, how you doing?
Doing great. Recovering from a long weekend.
Yeah, are you okay? Because it looked like in that first match, you took a shot like straight to the face in the first half of that match.
Yeah, that was probably the hardest I think I've ever been hit in the face. I've gotten quite a few fights before, but I don't think I've ever been hit quite that hard before, especially from point blank. But all good. You know, the teeth are all still there.
Yeah.
Still glued in because they're all fake anyways, but they're still all glued in. So that's good. The nose was bleeding a little bit, but
you look good. You look good.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
appreciate that. Thank you. I try to keep everything straight and in order, but yeah, it was a tough hit for sure. But it was a great teaching moment for me because, you know, I benched a guy and I fined him because in our last game, he jumped out of the way of a goal and it led to the game tying goal. And I said, you sit there and you take it in the face, you know, protect yourself. The ball's not going to hurt. Sit there and make a play for your team. So I was more than happy to do that for the squad. I mean, that was a hell of a shot. It was going top corner for sure, you know, up against the goalkeeper's momentum, you know, back to the side that he was coming from. So coming across, I just tried to take an angle to take away the far post so that, you know, my goalkeeper could take the near post and off the, obviously his momentum was going that way. So I'm glad I did it. And I'm glad I stood in there and took it. But yeah, that hurt like that hurt like nothing else. That hurt real bad.
It looked like it hurt.
I didn't even give myself up.
It looked like it hurt.
Usually I don't stay down long. But I tried to get myself up and my body was like, hey, maybe you just take a second and sort yourself out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. In fact, let's stick with the weekend and let's talk about being on the road because Fayetteville Fayetteville looked good at home. It is in general, I think it's fair enough to say in any league, but I think it's also proving true in the NISL. It's just tough to go into another venue with road travel, especially when you have a team in this league just starting of players, many of them who are not used to that road experience. Talk a little bit about the level of difficulty that adds to a match. I'm not saying that it's an excuse, but it is a factor for a lot of teams that play different at home versus on the road.
Well, you know, there's three major factors I think play into playing on the road. Number one is the travel, right? Travel is always tough on anybody because you have to leave at tough hours. You have to work around people's schedules and stuff like that. Being on the bus is rough, you know, at any given juncture, no matter how you break up the trip and stuff like that. So that's exhausting in itself. Even if you're comfortable, like just any normal travel day, think of any normal travel day when you're flying or busing, it's typically, you know, between 6 and 8 hours. And it takes a lot out of you because you're constantly, you know, you're not sitting, you're not in your normal routines, you're not eating the same food, you're not sleeping in the same bed. You know, you're subject to whatever the accommodations are that are given to you. Mm-hmm. The home team almost always takes care of the away team's travel arrangements and food arrangements and stuff, which is very tough because people aren't used to eating what you eat on the road. You're not used to the bed that you sleep in. There's all sorts of sleep studies that come out and say that, you know, you're not getting proper sleep whenever you're in a hotel room or in an environment where you're not comfortable. Yeah. And then the last thing is obviously you're in somebody else's building. So, those things are always really tough. And I'll throw a fourth thing in there is you're limited by, you know, maybe what your travel roster could be. Maybe they can't take that much time away from family or from their job or whatever. But you know, those are things that are tough. I mean, for our sake, it's 12 hours up there. We had to leave very late in the afternoon so that people got at least a half day of work in and, you know, could deal with, you know, the families and the kids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then you wrap the weekend because we didn't get back from Fayetteville until about 8 o'clock in the morning on Monday. So you're really truly wrapping a work weekend on that at that point. So, it's good for tax purposes, but not very good for being a top level athlete. Right. So, you know, there's a lot of difficulties, but everybody's got to deal with those, you know, that whenever you go on the road, whatever your record is, your goal is to try and at minimum split the weekend,
yeah.
You know, go 1-1 and then take care of business at home. Sure. Unless you're the Arizona Cardinals and then you're just trying to live for the away games and suck at home for some reason. But,
that's random. You know, it's,
that's true yeah, though. It's it, true.
I try to read a lot of, try to figure out the idiosyncrasies of why teams are better on the home or better on the road than home or vice versa and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know, for us, it was just, it's a tough weekend, especially for the men. We knew we were up against it. We knew we were playing against, a very good team. They've got a lot of talent on that Fayetteville team. But we didn't do ourselves any favors and we certainly got zero favors.
Well, speaking to the men's though, were you surprised at all by Fayetteville? Did they bring anything new to the table that you were just like, the hell is this?
Not at all. I don't think there's anybody specifically that we thought did any more, or honestly, there's a lot of players that did a lot less than we expected out of them. For us, it was just a matter of execution. I mean, we were very poor in the first game. I gave away a goal, like literally just gave away a goal, which is very, you know, I chalk it up to you when you're on the ball as much as I am, especially for this team, eventually you're going to screw up, right? Like it's going to happen. And it's not like outdoor where you make a bad pass and you don't pay for it. You make a bad pass here, and you're going to pay for it. So especially against a good team like that. And they certainly have very, very good players. A couple of their players scored some goals that, honestly, you probably should have retired after because they were just bangers. But, you know, it's like, it's pretty crazy. But just from an execution standpoint, we did not do very well. Defensively, we were excellent especially in the second game. But we just kept shooting ourselves in the foot. And honestly, you know, there's a couple of instances where the game really turned on a couple of decisions that were out of our control. And that really, really sucked. Really, really sucked. You know, in any sport, one of the priorities from all leagues is to try and protect your top players. And I certainly expect that from everybody, especially when we're on the road. But to not see it reciprocated, it's very, very disappointing and disheartening. And to see some of the things that were called against us, very typical of what you see in an away building, in an away atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And
some home cooking.
Those guys got some beers after the game.
Yeah, home cooking.
It changed the way you had to play as well, right? I mean, can you talk about tactically?
Can you talk about
tactically how you changed from one night to the next?
Yeah. So, when you know you're not going to get anything, it is what it is. You have to try and get away from those battles. So we do everything we can to try and control the mental part of the game and to really put the onus on them. And a lot of that has to do with our defensive mentality. So when we're on defense and they look like we don't have control of the game, but we feel like we do, because we know exactly what they're going to do. We know exactly how to take it away. We didn't do it very well in the first game, but in the second game, 0-0 at halftime. And then we come out knowing that they're frustrated, knowing that they're going to try and do things that are out of their own comfort level and out of some of their own players' comfort levels. And they started getting caught. They started getting a little too impatient, and we made them pay. Which is what we're supposed to do. That's exactly what we're supposed to do, is make them pay for the mistakes that they make, and limit the number of mistakes that we made. And we did that. I mean, there was the definition of banging your head against the wall. They literally did the same thing 4 passes in a row on the same shift. And then we busted out of it and ended up gaining possession. And that was the possession that led to our go-ahead goal in the fourth quarter. And we knew it was going to happen. We knew those things were going to happen. It was just a matter of time.
Yeah.
And we could have put better pressure on them by simply keeping the ball better. Once we did win the possession, and we adjusted a few things and are going to adjust a few things for this weekend coming up that will allow us to do that. But, again, it's one of those learning things, right? It, the game, when you have two very talented teams like we are, it comes down to one or two moments in the game. I mean, there was a moment in the game with all the mistakes that we made in the first game where it's 3-2 them. We get a top of the box, and we had 3 attempts at the top on one shot off of our top of the box, and we didn't put it in the back of the net. We just hit the goalkeeper in the face twice or something like that.
Is that more frustrating? Frustrating at that point?
When he was on the ground, and then they scored immediately on that counterattack after it. So instead of being 3-3, now we're 4-2. And then we make one more mistake on the power play that was given to them, and now it's 5-2. Mm-hmm. And then I think they ended up getting the top of the box, and it was 6-2. So you go, all right, now we got to come back. But at no point, even in a 4-goal game, I don't think any of us ever really got here or here. Mm. We were just like, all right, we just got to deal with this. We got to deal with this. We got to deal with this. If we find this, we'll find that. If we find that, we'll find this. And that's kind of how we approach it. And all of a sudden, it's a 6-4 game, and then it's a 7-5 game. And then we were again, just a couple of plays away, myself included, because I missed 2 shots that I felt like I really should have scored. I needed to step up and score there. And I didn't. And those are the differences in those tight games. And like I said, I think for us, that was the most talented team we played against so far.
Yeah.
And so just being able to make those adjustments from here on out is what we're going to be able to really kind of pull off towards the end of the season.
I know the sudden death is the overtime rule, but I think if you'd have had 5 or 10 minutes of just playing that out, I think the team could have stolen that second game. I think,
we had it.
Yeah.
We had our chance. We had our chance, and we smashed the ball against the wall instead of just, placing it in the corner. It was right in probably the first 2 minutes of overtime. Mm-hmm. We had possession. We kept our possession exactly how we wanted. We had the right people check in. We had the right movements off the ball, and everything literally worked 1-2-3. And then we're sitting there in front of goal, and on 2v1, we smashed the ball off the boards. And we're just a little bit more composure, a little bit more of a clinical nature, and that game's over.
The truest definition of not my night kind of thing is what.
Yeah. It's when everything goes right and it still goes wrong kind of a thing. And like I said, that's very typical on the road, very typical on the road. And it's, the longer the game goes, the more likely the, the visiting team because of all the things we talked about before, the rest, the recovery and the food and the preparation really start to affect you and your play and your decisions on the ball.
I'm glad I bought Samuel Castro stock early because his stock rose with me over the weekend.
Yeah, that guy's Bobby's unreal. Bobby's unreal. I mean, he's probably one of the more dangerous players we have because he is so creative. I mean, he is such an indoor player naturally because of his creativity. I mean, you see some of the plays that he makes, you know, in a 1v1, just playing the ball off the wall to himself or playing the ball off the wall to an oncoming player. His natural ability to drift into dangerous areas. I mean, what we set up on the go-ahead goal in the second game, I saw him just literally like kind of just float away from his defender and just get right to that back post. And it was so natural and so well-timed. In indoor, there's very few things that beat timing. It's kind of like, American football. There's very few things that you can do against a perfect pass and a perfectly timed route and perfectly executed route. And a lot of the things that we did is exactly that, you know, our top of the boxes, our power plays, our, you know, the runs that we made to create that space and his movement off the ball. Castro was just, he was on fire this weekend.
Coach, I know it's never easy to take a loss. I know that, but just a question is there a little less pressure now? With you and the guys, because now both squads have a loss. And so that fear of loss isn't, you know what it feels like now, you know, right. is that taken off of you, that edge?
No, it's awesome. It's awesome. Not awesome.
Right. It's never easy to lose.
That's the right word. So that pressure would really start to build later on this season. I mean, we still got 15 games left, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 17. We got 17 games left, right? To start thinking, oh, we're 5-0 going under, like that's absurd. That's an absurdity. And to think that far down the road is just absurd. So getting that, like you said, I think it's not really the pressure, but seeing how we react to losing, that everything's great when you're winning.
Right.
Except, I mean, some locker rooms are the exception because they just have bad chemistry and they just have, you know, very poor leadership. Mm. I said it since the beginning. I felt like I have generals on the women's and I feel like I have generals on the men's. And I feel like I have people that are self-reflective first and foremost. So they think about what they could have done better in the game always, right? Like I've said it time and time again, before I even get a chance to send some videos out or do film sessions, I'm getting reports back from most of my players on things that they could do better or ways that maybe we could improve, right? Mm-hmm. So that mindset already is, we've created a culture of self-accountability, number one, and learning, right? So this game, you cannot learn everything in the first five games of the freaking season. Yeah. We are adapting and learning on frame. So perfect example, let's shift to the women.
Right.
Perfect example.
Right.
It's a 4-2 game. It's a 4-2 game, okay? We game planned all week in training for what we would see defensively and offensively against them. Defensively, we were fine. Give up two goals, it's fantastic, man. Anytime you give up less than four goals, it's excellent. And kudos to them because they held us to four goals, right? But after the game was over, they were so frustrated. And I was too, you know, because it is a very difficult thing to bounce back and forth. But and that was the first time I took a loss and then had to go jump into a game and then coach a game. Mm-hmm. So that was tough to do too on my part. But, you know, we're all dealing with things as they come. So after the game's over, I'm looking at my team and everybody feels like they lost the game. Everybody felt like they're just sitting around just disgusted with themselves because of how they played. Right. Wow. And we won. We won 4-2.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at that and you go, God damn it. I love this team. Right. And I said that to him. I'm like, I'm so proud of the culture that you guys have. And it's amazing. So the next night I tried to reframe how I kind of did my pregame talks and things like that. And I wanted to see if we could basically just fine tune the same game plan, just fine tune it better. And the same thing with the men, fine tune it better to where now they're starting to see it. Now they're making their decisions quicker. Now they're not panicking. Now they're not being frustrated. And my God, did they ever do that? I mean, that was one of the most flawless games I've witnessed anybody play, other than maybe the men's 10-0 game in Columbus. That was so flawless by the women. It was beautiful. I mean,
well, I was going to ask, beautiful. Like, did the women go home and get the rest? I mean, because they were shot out of a cannon from whistle to whistle. And I mean, you almost kind of wonder what the secret sauce was in the locker room from day one to day two.
It's just frame of mind. It's just mindset, right? Just being able to help control the emotions by framing everything, right? So we talk about, all right, if you're nervous or you're unsure, put everything into that box. So what part of the field are you nervous in? That's the shelf. What are we talking offense? We talking defense? That's the box. Then we pull out that box and we go through everything that you're supposed to go through. And that's how you kind of compartmentalize things. So I did my best to go to every single specific player before the game started and talk about basically two things offense, two things on defense that I really wanted them to focus on for that game. The specific areas, what they saw last night, what the players are trying to do to them last night, what that specific number player, like 13, what did she do? 22, what did she do? 9, what did she do? Where did she do it on the field? And we really focused on those little things so that when they saw it in the game, they're like, got it. Boom. And we're gone. And that's what it turned into the whole game. And it was just repetitive over and over and over and over and over and over. And it was so much fun to be a part of and watch.
Tim, really was. I really thought coach was going to say it was Angel's live tweeting of the travel, which was the tipping point. That was interesting. Well, it really was interesting.
The defense was so good. I thought she could have live tweeted in the second game. She got her first clean sheet. You know, that was fantastic.
No kidding, right? No kidding. And you know, we force such, like I said, you can't take everything away because it's indoor soccer. You cannot take everything away. But that's why we say shutouts are so unbelievably rare.
Right.
But when you limit the types of chances, when you limit the percentage of chance, you come into a game like that and all of a sudden you're up against it and you're starting to feel things. You're at home. You're supposed to, you know, you're not supposed to be going down 3-0. They're not supposed to have this much of the ball. They're not supposed to, you know, be just dicing you guys up. They just didn't seem to have an answer. And we took all their players out of their own element to where now when they even did have a chance, they weren't making the proper shot. They wouldn't make the proper pass. They didn't make the proper decision on the ball, which led to another turnover, another miss, and more frustration, more antsiness, you know. And the further along you go in a game, the more each shot counts, you know, and the more the buildup is and the hype is with that. And that's what leads to bad shots and shots going wide. You know, we were never really outnumbered in any of their situations. Everybody was pushed wide to the boards. They had to cut the ball all the way across to the far post. And on a narrow goal, you miss most of those chances. You miss a lot of those chances, especially if you don't have anybody back post like Castro did for me. Right. So the reason why we got somebody back post is because we had great possession in before that. Then it gave time to get somebody back post when we finally opened up. But when they just stuck one player deep and tried to take away two of our defenders, we told our defenders what to look for, who to look at next. And then we went. Now, when you're singled up 1v1, our defender just pushed you wide, let you take the shot. Our goalkeeper is amazing. She makes the save. Ball goes wide. You get even more frustrated. So it's those types of things that lead to a higher percentage chance of victory now and lower percent of chance against goals against. And we've just been very fortunate between the men's and the women's having 3 shutouts this season. That's impressive. Yeah. And we shut out the best team in the league for an entire half on their home court.
Yeah.
Right. And then went up 2-0. And then went up 2-0. And then, you know, they give a blue card for, I think, Jordy.
I think he sneezed
a little too loud.
Yeah.
Did you see the horse collar, by the way? The kid jumped on his back.
Yeah.
And the same referee in the same place just said, oh, beep, foul.
Normally, you should send flowers after doing something like that. But
normally,
that's another story for another time, Corey.
I think it's a dinner, actually.
I'm telling you.
But anyway,
it's got to be at least a dinner. It's got to be at least a dinner. We were messing with the camera, like, you know, we can give you a picture, maybe just swap jerseys, and you know, give him an autograph after the game. I mean, the guy really wanted to get to know him. He really wanted to get to know him. It was embarrassing.
Let me throw a chalk talk question at you here.
Yeah.
And this is generally speaking on the road. How important is possession? Because typically your bench is not going to be as deep. Mm. And with that, I would think that it would be of benefit twofold. One, it buys you a little bit of rest. But secondly, if you have the ball, then you can decide when you make those shifts. Because on the road, if you're bearing down, doesn't that double things down and make it worse?
Oh, it's huge. Possession's huge. And that was one of the things that we really hammered home this week, was how impatient we were at times and how that led to more defensive posture. So you cannot score all your goals in one shift. You cannot score all the goals in one quarter. You have to be able, especially when we're so defensive minded and defensive first, when you do get possession, it's a twofold thing, right? When it's that hard to break us down defensively, you start to try things that are out of your element. You start to force things. Yeah. When you force things and you don't pay for it with being out of possession, you're just picking it. You're just trying stuff, right? It's out there for a Sunday kick around. But if we win possession and then we keep the possession for 2 minutes, for 3 minutes, and we do that over and over and over and over and over, all of a sudden, that guy that clips that fourth ball in for the fourth time in a row on a shift, if he loses that ball and now they have to defend for 2 minutes, all his teammates are just destroying him on the bench. Just don't give the ball away, blah, blah, blah. Every time you give the ball away, we keep telling you keep the ball and you won't keep the ball. Now we got to defend for you. All that stuff, right? And then you get a goal. It's a backbreaker, man. Yeah. It's a backbreaker. But we were doing these flicks. We were doing these shots from too far out. We weren't bringing the ball back. We weren't really punishing them with that possession. Mm. And that was one of the things that we really, really hammered home. And we got a film session tonight. We're going to see a lot of those instances where, why didn't you put your foot on the ball? That's a low percentage pass. That's a low percentage shot. We just defended for 2 minutes. Just keep the ball.
Yeah.
Just keep it, right? And our game plan was ironclad. Our game plan was ironclad. There was nothing they could do to really break us down. Like they did in the first game. Cause like I said, we just got way too far out of our element. We did not execute the way we needed to defensively, which turned into way too many goals against, way too many goals against. And that kills you. That kills you.
Hey, Brody and Coach, let's look ahead to this weekend. Friday, 5:30 kickoff for the women. Saturday, 3:30 kickoff for the men. And Fayetteville is coming in. And this should be, I think this is going to be a terrific weekend, because I think it's going to be adjustments on top of adjustments on top of adjustments. Now that each team has played each other twice, and now you've got film on each other, and now everybody's pissed off at each other. I think we really have the feature matchups in the league this weekend. Can you speak to that?
Well, hold on, Tim. It's Columbus. That's the thing, though. Fayetteville's coming off of a game Thursday.
Tonight.
Yeah,
tonight.
With Columbus.
Tonight.
And then you get whatever Fayetteville. So what does that even look like, too? So I'm going to add to that, part B to this
right.
question.
And that's where guys like me have to come in, right? So it doesn't matter what hand you're dealt with. You have to try and make adjustments, right? So Fayetteville, for the men's side, plays all man-to-man, and they play a lot of the physicality, the run and gun, the dump the ball in and let's body against the boards. When we transition, we're transitioning man-to-man. When we press, we're trying to press the goalkeeper, but they kept breaking it. Those are the types of things that if they don't make adjustments, it's going to be a very, very physically demanding weekend. And if we don't adapt to what we did poorly, then we're going to make it even easier for them, right? So the onus is on us to force them to have to adapt their system If they don't, it's going to be very, very tough for them. I think very tough, because I've been, you know, three games in a row in three different cities or two different cities. And I've won all three of those. I've also lost all three of those. So, you know, there's two very stark contrasts between, you know, how the other teams prepared against us and versus what we did and what we can adapt to. I don't think Fayetteville has really been tested in a way that they've had to make adjustments. And I think that onus now becomes ours to really press. How well can we make them have to adjust? Because the travel conditions, they are what they are, but we have to do that at the end of the season too. So it's not like, you know, there's any kind of unfairness anywhere else. That, like, that's just indoor soccer and period. In every league that happens. It's not just our league. That happens in every league where you have to go travel, play a game, travel that night, play another game, and then play another game before you go back. It happens every single season. That's done for me since, and they're fortunate. I mean, most of the time your third game, in my experience, is against a team that hadn't played all week.
Right.
You know, so like they're completely fresh and you're on your third game in the third city. Yeah. And it's a nightmare. So, but you have to adjust to that. There are ways to adjust to it, and it's going to be on them to see if they can. Mm. It's going to be on them to see if they can. So, for us, you know, we'll try and push the tempo a bit, with the proper amount of, patience, we'll call it. and I think that the rest of the game is going to just kind of fall into place, and we'll make adjustments based on what we see.
All right. That's MemphisAmericans.com. MemphisAmericans.com to pick up tickets. It's buy one, get one this weekend.
Yeah.
The women start at 5:30 on Friday, followed by the men. And then it's reversed on Saturday, 3:30 kickoff for the men. And then the women will play shortly thereafter. Head coach and general manager Corey Adamson, thank you for your time. Thanks for answering all of our questions, too. I know that the road trip had a little bit of a hiccup for the men, but the women were on a roll. And, you know, that's just all part of it. And it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And good luck on that.
It's a long marathon. It's literally a 26-mile marathon by the time you're done with playoffs and everything. So it's 24 games, a lot of games. Tough.
Big weekend tough. Against Fayetteville. Good luck this weekend, Coach. Yeah, we appreciate
thank you,
your time.
Sir. Yeah. Appreciate you guys. Thank y'all.
More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
The heart of Memphis has always been full of song. Every walk of life represented in the way Memphians know best. From the established to the current to the rising stars, hear their story and their music on the Memphis Reverb podcast on your favorite podcast provider. Just search Memphis Reverb.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. And we have added time to the podcast.
Man, you want to talk about a passionate guy and loving what he's doing right now. Head coach, general manager, Corey Adamson, talking Memphis Americans, a big weekend, taking on, well, on the men's side at least, the number one team in the league. Here's the thing, though, Tim. They've played two less games than us. We have the most games in the league with seven. I wanted to ask him, do you think that plays a part in this? You know, when does that start coming into factor?
I think it's kind of like election night. It's too soon to call.
Yeah.
It's too early to call.
Yeah.
And by the time the weekend is over with, Fayetteville will have made up one of those two games in hand. They've got a long weekend, and Memphis has a chance now. And as we talked about in the discussion with Corey, it's just flat out hard to win on the road in any league. Yeah. And especially in the NISL, that has proven to be true, because all of the losses for Memphis have been on the road. Lander Center has been a fortress. So it's going to be interesting to see how this weekend pans out, because I think Fayetteville's coming in. I think they're very well coached. I think it's going to be a terrific weekend. I think it's going to be physical.
Yeah.
And we saw Memphis on the road making adjustments to Fayetteville and nearly pulling off the split. They didn't do it. Fayetteville, to their credit, they finished the job. However,
Now in Memphis's backyard, are they going to be able to come in and spoil the party for Memphis? That remains to be seen. But I think what we do know is you've got two very well-coached clubs, both sides, men's and women's. I think Fayetteville is going to be a bit frustrated having got swept at home. But Memphis coming in off of that clean sheet, they'll want to continue that streak and see how long they can go to keep Fayetteville off of the scoreboard. I think the women may have maybe the path to victory may not be as bumpy, but don't underestimate the fact that Fayetteville's women aren't going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, because they're definitely going to be doing that.
Well, and I think, you know, having that game against Colorado before they hit
Columbus.
Memphis or Columbus, excuse me.
Put a quarter in the jar.
But, you know, having that game to, smack the taste out of the mouth of the losses and wins on either side. Having that game on the road first and then staying on the road for another, stretch, coming to Memphis, Fayetteville's got their work cut out for them. And that's all I'm going to say. I hope we don't make it easy. I playing in at the Lander Center, it gets noisy. The Bluff City crew is coming out. The Mafia is coming out. I hear drums are going to be in tow for this series of games, especially Saturday night.
Wow.
Yeah. These things could get really testy really quick for a visiting club.
I'm looking forward to this weekend. Friday night, Jeff Brightwell has the call on the YouTube channel. I will be there on Saturday. So I guess I'll get my first taste of the drums indoor.
It should get really loud. Bring earplugs.
I'm glad I'm at the very top of the arena. I know warm
you get
air
the echo
rises.
Chamber.
I don't know about the drum beats.
Yeah, you get echo chamber up there.
Yeah, hopefully these are noise canceling headphones. I didn't even check them before I put them on before match day. But again, for those that want to go, it's buy one get one ticket. Buy a ticket to Friday, you get in Saturday free. 5:30 kickoff for the women on Friday. Men follow shortly thereafter. They continue to shorten that gap to around 20 minutes in between matches, which is really good. And then on Saturday, 3:30 kickoff for the men, and then the women follow thereafter. Don't forget autographs after each game.
Really cool.
Not from me, but from the actual athletes, the players. I mean, I'll sign, but please no pictures.
Face for radio, voice for print. I got you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's
my
that's
MO.
About it. Yeah. And don't forget, too, we want to show some love to all of the Memphis clubs. We've also got an interview with Ben Pearman up concurrently now on My Three Subs. It's a separate episode, a standalone episode, as they have just begun preseason. I talked to Ben about training and how the ice storm impacted their schedule. And go to my3subspodcast.com, which, by the way, our brand new website is up. It's efficient. It is spiffy. And best of all, it was free.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, can't get wrong with that.
You get what you pay for. That's what with this podcast. That's it. You know, that's what I've got to say about that. But anything else we need to pass along to these fine folk?
You know, I mean, best of luck to the Memphis Americans. Memphis 901 FC looking good, sounding good with Coach.
Oh, wait. I got to tell you this, too. I forgot to tell you about this. 901 FC's got brand new kits this year.
What?
I can't tell you the brand name, nor can I tell you about the design.
Uh-huh.
But watch this space, because we're gonna have more on that as well.
Memphis
indoor and outdoor are kitted out like champions. I love the Americans.
Dude, that red kit. The red kit is fire.
Yeah, it is. It is. And big thanks to, I know they're very thankful for James Pest Control to be the sponsor on the front of the Memphis Americans jerseys for sure. Any last bit of housekeeping we got to do before we go?
No, I just need to shell out more money now for new kits. So appreciate it.
Yeah, you may want to spend on Valentine's Day first and then deal with the kits after that. First things first, but we'll see everybody out there Friday at Lander Center and then on Saturday as well. For Brody Scott, I'm Tim Van Horn on My Three Subs. Check us out at mythreesubspodcast.com.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more My Three Subs podcast, a soccer odyssey.